Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I think the things that stood out were evident in this video. There's a toughness there that doesn't get talked about enough. There's a competitive spirit there that doesn't get talked about enough. I know he's very talented and has made a lot of plays for his university and his team, but the intangible qualities displayed on tape were impressive to me. We talked about his high floor, and the high floor was because of the intangibles, but also the anticipation and the pro accuracy were very obvious and consistent when studying his tape.
The first clip you heard there was Mike Tomlin waxing poetic about Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders. The second clip was Mike Tomlin waxing poetic about Pitt Panthers star and ACC champion Kenny Pickett. Same word used for both guys, and that's intangibles. We know Mike Tomlin liked Kenny Pickett's toughness, Kenny Pickett's chutzpah, his clutch gene. There's that infamous clip where Tomlin runs to Kenny Pickett on the sideline and goes, "Kenny bleepin' Pickett." I think it was after he threw that touchdown against the Ravens.
Yes.
Down the sideline to George Pickens. Kenny was clutch.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a lot away from Kenny Pickett, and hey, maybe you might cry about the way things went here with Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, but the guy was clutch. And Mike Tomlin's description of Shedeur Sanders matches eerily with what he said about KP. And that's got a lot of people spooked.
Yep.
You know, Pony is a big Shedeur Sanders guy. He's come around. He thinks he's going to be good, but even Pony yesterday said, "Whoa, gives me pause." Mueller said the same thing. I saw Jerry Dulac put that out. A lot of people said that Shedeur Sanders was described by Mike Tomlin the same way that he described Kenny Pickett. People are freaking out, man. Oh, geez, it's not a great quarterback class. Oh, geez, they're going to pick a guy 21st overall. They took Kenny 20th overall. And I think that we've got a lot of scorned lovers in our listening audience door, and a lot of people who are afraid that the Steelers are going to make the Kenny Pickett mistake a second time. And that's how I felt a couple of months ago. If they took a quarterback 21st overall. Excuse me. I thought if they do that in this week of class, it's exactly the same thing. But over the course of these few months, I've watched a lot more tape, some highlights. I have listened to a lot of Shedeur Sanders' media availabilities. I've read more scouting reports about Shedeur Sanders than I've ever wanted to. So many that it makes me nauseous. Mel Kiper has Shedeur Sanders as the number one overall quarterback, by the way, on his big board.
Oh, really?
Mel Kiper, soon to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Doran. He has Shedeur Sanders as the number one quarterback in this draft class, ahead of Cam Ward, ahead of Jackson Dart. Look, if they take Shedeur Sanders, I don't think it's the Kenny Pickett mistake all over again. I'll get into the reasons why, but I just want to put that out there. I'm not scared, the way that other people seem to be. Shedeur Sanders is a different player than Kenny Pickett. He's landing in a different situation than Kenny Pickett, and thus, to me, it's not the same. I'll get into the details. Do you think if they took Shedeur 21st overall, it would be KP 2.0?
Really, just what you said right there. You can listen to those clips all you want, and it is eerily similar. But they're not the same guy. They're not the same guy at all. Not at all. It's not Kenny Pickett. It's a different player. So are the Steelers supposed to be scared because something went wrong before and be scared to make that mistake again? Listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers need a quarterback. If they feel like a quarterback can come in here and have the production that they expect, they're going to take them. They need that position. I mean, you can't be scared from past and previous mistakes.
No.
You can't. And these are two different prospects, two different styles. Same grit, same moxie, the things of that nature that Mike Tomlin's talking about. Okay, that's fine. But these are two different people. And the Steelers need a quarterback. And I don't know how they feel about next year's draft. But if they are in love and have been in love for a long time with Shedeur Sanders, they will take him. And they will think that he can actually be the quarterback that was missing a couple years ago. So I have I don't connect the two at all. Like, it's two different situations, two different scenarios, two different people. Different. I mean, everything is different about Shedeur Sanders and Kenny Pickett. Everything.
At the very beginning of this process, I agree with you, man. It was Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. That's how it started.
Yes.
One of those guys will be the first overall pick. That's how it started.
During the season, it was Shedeur.
Yes. It was.
Early in the season.
And as the season went on, and then as the season came to a close, and people really start zooming in and getting into the pre-draft process, most people have Cam Ward, and the Titans clearly do, over Shedeur Sanders. Again, Mel Kiper Jr., the exception here, not the rule. But for a while, it was neck and neck. Those were the two guys. With Kenny, he was always looked at as a guy who would be a mid to late first round pick in the right circumstance, or maybe he was a guy that was going to fall out of the first round altogether. I went back and pulled a bunch of mock drafts, and I went back and I pulled a bunch of his scouting reports last night, doing homework for the show during my West Virginia education. And I mean, it was all over the map with that guy. He was probably the consensus number one dude, but where he was going to land, it varied. Shedeur Sanders has been a first-round quarterback through this entire process.
Yes.
Now, here's one of the things that's happened in the last 48 hours or so. People going out, well, here are the NFL quarterbacks drafted in the 20s since the year 2000. Kenny Pickett, Paxton Lynch, Johnny Manziel, Brandon Whedon, Tim Tebow, Brady Quinn, Jason Campbell, J.P. Lossman, Rex Grossman. A lot of guys in the 20s, Doran, that didn't pan out. But yet, conveniently, all of those lists seem to leave out Jordan Love, seem to leave out Aaron Rodgers, who were pretty doggone good. And I find that to be cherry-picking anyhow. Like, Lamar Jackson wasn't drafted in the 20s. He was drafted 32nd overall. He's a multiple-time MVP.
Jalen Hurts,
a second-round quarterback. Drew Brees drafted 32nd overall. Russell Wilson, 75th. Joe Montana, by the 82nd overall pick. Dak Prescott, 135th. He's making $60 million more than anybody's ever made. Kirk Cousins, 102nd. Tom Brady, 199th. Brock Purdy, 262nd. Where was Dan Marino drafted, by the way? Oh, he's in the 20s. So we can cherry-pick here, and we can say, oh, guys drafted in the 20s, they don't work out. All right, why are we stopping in the 20s? Nobody has any idea what they're doing at quarterback. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Mitch Trubisky was drafted before Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Yes, he was. Starkey had a great monologue to open his show yesterday. We don't have any idea. Doran, I default to you a lot of the time because you know what you're looking at more than I do, and you played in the league for 6 years. You played your entire life, you were playing football at a high level. But there are general managers who are paid millions of dollars to evaluate these guys, and they don't know what the hell they're looking at.
Nope.
So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Shedeur Sanders is the second coming. Shedeur Sanders will be the next Steelers quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but I ain't going to say he won't.
Right. Exactly where I'm at.
Right?
That's exactly where I'm at. And you can't be scared to take that jump. Can't be scared to make that pick, because you're going to have to at some point. And who's to say that the person, if you skip over this guy, that the next one is going to be that?
Right.
You got to take a chance. That's the name of the game. It's taking a chance. Every single guy that is drafted, a team is taking a chance on you. That's the name of the game. So you can't sit back and look at 2022 and say, you know what? We messed up there. And to be scared now because of things that happened in the past. You can't operate that way.
No. You have to learn from your mistakes. You have to give this guy, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, you have to give that dude a better chance to succeed than you did Kenny Pickett. Kenny wasn't given an opportunity to compete. He wasn't working with the first team. They threw him into a game without any reps with the ones. Them's the facts. The offensive coordinator was not qualified for his position. Kenny Pickett never had a shot. I don't know that it works out. I'm not saying that. I'm not defending Kenny. But that's the way it happened. You got to do a better job this time around. I also think, for all the scorned lovers out there, that Shedeur Sanders is a better prospect than Kenny Pickett, and he's landing in a much better position than Kenny Pickett. If he's here, he's going to be throwing the football to DK Metcalf, George Pickens, we think, Pat Freiermuth, and he's got an offensive line that, while it hasn't all come together, has a lot more pedigree than the offensive line that Kenny Pickett was standing behind. Facts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take a running back at some point in this draft, a guy who's going to have breakaway speed. It's a prediction. It's an educated guess. Look at who they brought in for pre-draft visitors. Kenny got to work with Najee Harris, who is a good player, but you can stack the box. You're not afraid of that guy taking it to the house. This is a much better situation for Shedeur Sanders.
And as you said, OC, that's the biggest.
Massive.
That's the biggest. We're not saying Arthur Smith is McVay or, you know, one of these gurus out there, these top OCs, but he can put it together and he can actually have a competent offense and it'll make sense and he can get a quarterback to play a certain way. The coordinator before could not do that.
No, he couldn't. He had no flow for the game. Nope. He couldn't call a game. I mean, we don't have to relitigate all that, but facts. People crush you on the text line, and by you, I mean me. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I don't remember who the general manager was for the Houston Texans when they broke in the league in 2002. I do know they drafted David Carr first overall, and all those guys in that building forgot more about football than I will ever know, and they thought that guy was going to be their franchise savior. Didn't work out. Joey Harrington went third overall to Detroit. Had a hell of a collegiate career.
Mm-hmm. Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. That guy didn't work out.
Nope.
Washington drafted Patrick Ramsey 32nd overall. How'd that work out? Didn't. Byron Leftwich, a first-round pick. Kyle Bowler, Rex Grossman. J.P. Lossman went in the 2004 NFL draft. Everyone says that's the best draft or one of the best quarterback drafts of all time. J.P. Lossman went 22nd overall to the Buffalo Bills. I think those people in the front office know more than any person listening to this radio program right now, and they swung and missed. Alex Smith went first overall in 2005. You don't think San Francisco wishes they took Aaron Rodgers, who went 24th overall? Jason Campbell went 25th overall to Washington. I'm just throwing names out there. If the general managers and the scouting departments and the head coaches and the quarterback coaches, if they are taking educated guesses on all these guys, then that's all we're doing too. And if you like Shedeur Sanders like we do, we can have an adult conversation about it and you don't have to shout people, oh, they're doing Kenny Pickett 2.0. Maybe. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're wrong.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong. Don't know. Maybe they're wrong. They don't know.
Exactly. Nobody knows.
Nope.
And so I'm not suggesting the Steelers trade up for Shedeur Sanders, but if he falls into their lap 21st overall, you take him.
I know one thing, Crowley.
Tell me.
I know one thing. I don't know how I don't know how it'll go. We don't know. And that was a great way to explain what you just did with the quarterback situations in the past years. But what I do know is it is a sour taste in your mouth if you had an opportunity to take a quarterback and don't. And that quarterback goes somewhere else and plays very well. It's a very sour taste. And that you will think about that all the time. We had a chance to get that guy, and we passed up.
Yes.
We had a chance, we passed up, and now look at him. That is a bad taste in your mouth.
To take a defensive lineman?
That's.
Which, look, they need one. They need two. You pass up on a potential franchise quarterback to take a defensive lineman, and Shador Sanders goes off to play 12 years in the league. That's how people get fired. 412-928-9370. Mike Tomlin was gushing about the intangibles of Shador Sanders. Does this scare you? Because that's exactly how he described Kenny Pickett. 412-928-9370. Or is this all a smokescreen? We'll get to that coming up.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
I've obviously known his father for a long time, my first time meeting him. And to be quite honest with you, we didn't talk a whole lot about my relationship with his father. It was a normal pre-draft visit to spend time with a young man, to talk ball, to get to him as an individual, to get to see how he processes and sees the game and how he articulates his football experience. From that standpoint, it was a very normal visit and a productive one.
It already started when I wake up at 2 in the morning and I'm thinking about it all for the last week. So,
you know, it's a game to be played. It's competition. It is fun, certainly. I think about it as pro days, as you guys watch us move, who I interact with, where I go. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. But that's a fun component of the competition.
You mentioned
the same could be said about who we bring in on pre-draft visits.
Mike Tomlin likes playing the game. Mike Tomlin says you might bring in a guy for a pre-draft visit, and you're not really super interested in that guy.
He's low-key helping out guys, too. If you think about it, if they're not interested, but the Steelers are acting like they're interested, then their draft stock might get worried that the Steelers are going to take them, maybe trade up for them.
For sure.
You're upping a guy's stock maybe by, even if you like him or not, by just showing him attention, because they're people are worried that Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take that guy.
Yeah. Let's say you're, I don't know, the Rams picking 26th and you want to take a certain player, but you saw the Steelers had him in for a pre-draft visit and you're thinking, dang, if we want to take this guy, we might have to jump ahead of Pittsburgh. So the Steelers help themselves, and you're right. It might help a draft prospect go earlier than they were going to go. And the reason I bring all this up is we know how much it seemed like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers liked Malik Willis back in the 2002 NFL draft, and we all know they took Kenny Pickett. Are they doing that here? Oh, Shador, we love you, Shador. Maybe they've got their eyes on Jackson Dart. I said this last Friday. I don't know what to believe. I don't know if it's Shador. I don't know if it's Jackson Dart. But now other people seem to be catching on. Jerry Dulac tweeted, in 18 previous years, I don't think I ever heard Mike Tomlin talk about any draft prospect, much less detailed evaluation he offered today of Shador Sanders. Tomlin, though, freely admits he likes to create smoke screens and throw the draft experts off their scent, end quote. He could be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He could not be doing that. He could be doing it, talking about how much he loves Shador so that people think that they actually like Dart, but they really do like Shador. I don't know. We'll find out on Thursday if they do take a quarterback, which would they loved. And then this will be another data point so that next year and beyond, when we're breaking down Mike Tomlin's pre-draft press conference, we can maybe have a better idea of what they're doing. But I'm not ruling out, Doran, that they actually like Jackson Dart more. I tend to believe it's Shador, but I'm not ruling out that this is all a smokescreen and that Dart's their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I think that they might like both. So like they might feel like they're in a good situation that whatever one is there, they're comfortable taking. I kind of believe that. I think that if one of them is there, it doesn't matter which one. I think that they still might take them. I still think that there's a high probability that they will take a quarterback, but a quarterback of those two.
Yeah.
Not like a Milrow or anybody or a Reach.
Yeah, they might be good if the Saints take Shador at 9.
That they're like, fine.
We'll take Dart at 21. They might really be okay with both. But I just wanted to put that out there, that this could be Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett-esque. And We didn't even hear Tomlin talk about Willis this way. It was really more the Aaron Rodgers wink, wink, nod, nod. Remember when those two were flirting? Mike Tomlin, when Malik Willis at his pro day dropped a 70-yard bomb in the bucket on the rollout, Tomlin was seen, like, all excited and such about that. And you don't generally go to the Liberty pro day.
Mm-hmm.
They were there for one reason and one reason only. Callis liked me going, oh! Is that what it was, Callis? Is that what got you?
Oh! Oh! More, yeah, it was longer.
I mean, Tomlin was orgasmic, mm-hmm. frankly, watching that ball sail 70 yards down the field, right on the money. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We got a few texts this morning. You guys don't even know who they're going to draft. End the speculation. Talk about who they get on Friday. I mean, are you new here?
Like, what?
You turn on ESPN, it's draft. You flip on NFL Network, of course, it's draft. You want to go Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Colin Cowherd, it's draft. Their show with Pony's friend, the guy who came over from Chicago, they're talking draft. Stinks on the set there, he's talking draft. Maybe mix the NBA playoffs in there a little bit in the national scene, but it's all draft, draft, draft. This is fun. What? Do people not like this? I asked that question. I know the answer. You love it. The numbers reflect that.
Yes.
ESPN's talking about it because they know it rates. We're talking about it because we know it rates. I love this.
Love it.
It's just like the trade deadline. It's just like free agency. There's rumors. Some are credible. Some are not. Some are smokescreen. Some are not. We try to sift through all the nonsense and find what's believable and credible.
It's like it's a real game outside of fantasy football or fantasy sports that you could play with yourself that you could see how close you actually get. Like, do your research. Play GM. You can play GM at home and see, like, how close you get of who, and especially the Steelers, are going to pick. It's fun. And there's a lot of speculation, and that's why I say this year's draft is more exciting than I felt in a long time, even the Kenny Pickett draft, because I really don't know where they're going to go. And they have so many needs.
And we'll get into that more coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I've thrown out a Twitter poll at underscore Adam Crowley, the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. If all of these guys are there when the Steelers pick at 21, who do you want them to take? Shador Sanders, Amarian Hampton, Derek Harmon, Emeka Abuka. You can vote again at underscore Adam Crowley. Right now, there is a clear leader, and we will get to that coming up at 7 o'clock. But up next, we talked in the first segment about nobody knowing what the hell they're doing when it comes to picking a quarterback. That was all crystallized in an Albert Breer piece on SI.com, where he talked to anonymous scouts, anonymous front office people, anonymous coaches, and the scouting reports that these guys give on the same player are vastly different. One scout looks at a player and goes, oh, that guy's the greatest thing since dot, dot, dot. The next guy goes, oh, he's going to be a fifth-round player.
Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit coming up next. Also, a really good question on the text line that I want to get to. And the text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Couple of texts here. You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia at Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. From Mike in Uniontown, I can't remember what the buzz was for Ben Roethlisberger pre-draft. Were there people who were indecisive about him, or were they sure? Well, he was obviously a top 15 quarterback, top half of the first round QB. Like, nobody questioned that because of the size, what he did at Miami of Ohio, winning games, completion percentage, throwing the ball down. I mean, he had all the things from a physical standpoint. But, man, if you... Don't you think if the Giants and if the Chargers could do it again, they'd have taken Ben?
Browns, right?
Well, absolutely the Browns.
Right.
But like Ben...
You're saying that Rivers and Eli.
Yes. As good as those guys were. And Eli won two Super Bowls for the Giants.
Ben, that's a good question.
Ben's the best out of those three.
Yes.
And I think Rivers the best pure thrower of the football. And I hate to do this, but this is just a reality. Would he ever win?
Nothing.
And they had great teams. Great teams. And I'm taking nothing away from Rivers. I think he should probably be in the Hall of Fame, and Eli will be. Or is. Did he get in already? No.
No.
Two Super Bowls. So, I'm sure the Giants are happy with what happened, but, I mean, you compare Ben statistically side by side with Eli Manning. Eli got hot for a couple of playoff runs, and he was a good a good regular season quarterback. Ben was an elite regular season quarterback and also had the two rings. So
I think it's a wash with the Giants. I think that it'd be close with the Chargers if you ask them. Because I think that they got them. I think that they think that they got the most out of Phillip Rivers, and if Ben was their quarterback, that they might have gotten the same out of Ben in that situation in San Diego.
I don't know that Rivers wins here behind the Steelers' offensive line. He got it out quick. Like, he would have adjusted. Smart guy.
Can't move like Ben did.
No.
Great.
No. And that line in 05, great line. 08, not great. 2010. With Rivers, they don't make the Super Bowl. Okay, he would have gotten absolutely murdered. All right, one more text question here at 412-928-9370. So if Sanders is dropping in the draft, it's because 20-plus teams, well, it'd be 20, don't think he's worth drafting. Why do you guys think Tomlin, of all people, is smarter about quarterbacks than the rest of the league? I don't. I think he's clearly, and I think they as an organization are clearly better than Cleveland, clearly better than the Giants, clearly better than Indianapolis. It doesn't matter about all those other teams. You're thinking about the quarterback needy teams. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the reason why the Saints were passing on Shador Sanders was because they don't want the smoke from Deion. Meanwhile, we heard in the last segment, Mike Tomlin referenced his relationship with Deion Sanders. He ain't scared. Kellen Moore, first-year head coach, probably doesn't want to deal with all that Deion Sanders smoke and criticism.
Absolutely not. Like, that's not... You know, that's just a recipe for disaster. If you have that baggage, that potential baggage, I should say, if you're a first-year head coach. And like you said, too, like, I mean, more than half of those teams don't need a quarterback. So it's not all 20 teams. If 20 teams were all eligible and needed a quarterback, okay, we could have this discussion. But more than half of the teams don't need a quarterback.
And the ones that do, I'm not going to look at it as some sort of disaster that they don't want the guy that I want. Like, they don't know what the frig they're doing. Meanwhile, who's like the quarterback whisperer, the offensive guru in the NFL? There's a couple. I'll just come out and say Kyle Shanahan. Everyone loves Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's is a genius. This flat brim hat wearing genius who, oh man, he's God's gift to coaching up quarterbacks. They moved heaven and earth to get Trey Lance, who stunk. And they passed on Brock Purdy a dozen times, as did the entire league, and Brock Purdy wound up being the quarterback that had them. He played well enough to win that Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. So he got a lot out of Brock, but couldn't make it work with Trey Lance, and that guy, this quarterback genius, thought, oh, we got to take that guy in the top five. Let's give up all this stuff to go and get him. So nobody knows. Like, that's one of the best in terms of offensive minds. He didn't know. So I'm supposed to worry about what the Browns organization thinks about a quarterback that I want? The hell out of here. Oh, the Browns passed on him. That's a huge red flag. No, they don't know what they're looking at. Come on now. The Giants passed on him. They don't know what they're looking at. They drafted Daniel Jones. They gave him $250
million.
$250 million.
I could see the Browns trading back up into the first round to get him, though.
Yeah, I could see that.
To pair him with Henry.
I could absolutely see that. We'll also play the game. What do you do at 21st overall if there's no quarterback available? We'll play that game a little bit later on in the show or tomorrow. We've got two full shows before the NFL draft, which is 37 hours, 16 minutes, and 53 seconds away. 412-928-9370. All right, Albert Breer, he does this every year for Sports Illustrated, where he'll talk to anonymous scouts, front office executives, quarterbacks, coaches, sort of canvass the league on what they're thinking about different prospects, and he did it on quarterbacks. And here's a good eval-ish on Shador Sanders. He's the most interesting guy in the draft. The physical tools are good, not great. The arm talent, athleticism, size, all the core things a scout would look at are okay. You see him, he's accurate. He elevates his team. He's played good football under extreme spotlight. I do think that's important. I think he'll go fairly high. But if you're drafting him, you want to know every detail. I don't know what that last sentence means. He's accurate, tough, competitive in the pocket, got sneaky escapability for not being super athletic. So that's all good. Then an anonymous guy with a bat. This guy, if his last name was Breer, he joked, and he was coming out of Minnesota, he'd be a 6th-round pick. So you've got two different people that are being paid lots of money to work within the National Football League that have completely different opinions on Shedeur Sanders. So when we have fans blow up the text, this guy sucks. Maybe. And then when we sit here and say, hey, this guy could be the real deal. Maybe. So the way I look at it is, do you take a guy who falls into your lap at 21 this year, who you're guessing on, because you're guessing on everybody, or do you take a guy next year in the top 15 that you have to use maybe two first-round picks and a second-round pick and a third-round pick to move up and go get when you're also guessing on that guy? I'll take the one that falls into my lap.
Yeah. I mean, it's all based off of style and preference and kind of how you've been brought up, I guess, in the system of scouting and working in the front office. So, like, whenever one says that this guy will be a fifth-round pick, another says that this guy will be a first-round pick, it's all based off of style and preference of what you think a quarterback should be. And
system fits.
System fits. Moxie, things of that nature. And what we're trying, or what I'm trying to say, and I think what you're trying to say, is if you connect the dots, the style, the preference of Mike Tomlin, Shedeur Sanders' picture is right there. You know,
well, he got them intangibles.
Yes, it's a picture of Shedeur Sanders. Like, he fits, I think, what Mike Tomlin wants to do and how he thinks a quarterback should be.
Well, and the things too that I think he has that Kenny didn't, because obviously Mike Tomlin described him the same way he described Kenny, is he does have anticipation, and he's definitely a more accurate passer than Kenny Pickett. He just is. Texter, dude, calm down. Your voice sounds like a teen boy hitting puberty. No, yours does.
Mm.
Got him. I'm rubber. You're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me, sticks on you. And you're not invited to my birthday party. Chew on them apples. 412-928-9370. Much more on the draft coming up at 7 o'clock. If all these guys are there when the Steelers pick at 21, who would you take? Shedeur Sanders, Amarian Hampton, Derek Harmon, or Emeka Abuka? 412-928-9370. That's the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. If you're up early, you probably weren't up late to watch the Pirates. We got a little recap on what the Buccos did in Anaheim last night. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What happened with the Buccos last night, we'll take you in just a second. Someone said, since you guys love Shedeur Sanders so much, if you were the Browns, would you take him second overall? No. I would take Travis Hunter, and then I would trade back in and take Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, because I forget how many. They have a lot of picks.
They have 10, yeah.
10. 10 or 11?
10 picks.
10.
Might be 11 now. I just looked up a story. It said 10, but it could be dated. They have a lot of picks.
Yes.
And you can't, I mean, maybe they can't because they suck, but you can't put 10 rookies on your roster. Like, you're just not going to have all them guys.
Mm-mm.
Maybe they can. Steelers couldn't. Steelers will have 11 picks next year as we sit right now. So you figure they'll trade some of those next year. Maybe they'll trade some this year to get back into round two. All those options on the table, and we'll get to them over the course of the show. Meanwhile, while you were snoozing, this happened with the Buccos.
2-2. McCutcheon sends one high and deep out to the left center field. And this one is gone! Andrew McCutcheon! A three-run homer here in Anaheim. And there's that crushing blow. 5-1 Pirates.
He murdered that thing. Kevin Young. He murdered that thing, Doran. Absolutely annihilated it. And one of the stories of the game is that Bailey Falter left early due to an injury. So we'll see what's going on with Bailey. But then the bullpen dude goes five innings, gives up no runs, strikes out seven. Shugart gets the win. Bednar now a second consecutive scoreless appearance. One inning, one strikeout. Lawrence got the hold. Santana got the hold. Barucki threw an inning, so the bullpen was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, IKF said, finally, we put the offense together. The pitching staff's been doing its job. He's right. Largely, the pitching staff has normalized. The bullpen's been much better. The starting rotation, you know, here and there you get a bad start, but more than not has been good. But 9 runs, 18 hits. Season high in hits, obviously, for the Pirates. 9 runs, 18 hits. You probably want more than 9 runs, frankly, you get 18 hits. But O'Neill Cruz, 2-for-6. Brian Reynolds, 3 for 5. McCutcheon, 2 for 5. Joey Bart, 2 for 5. And I said this last week, Doran. Forget about the Tommy Pham's and the Adam Frazier's and the Emmanuel Valdez's of the world. If Cruz, Reynolds, McCutcheon, and Bart can hit the way that they pitch, they can start winning some series here.
Mm-hmm.
So you need your big guns to be your big guns. Those would be their relative big guns, and they all showed up last night.
What makes you feel better, 18 hits last night or Bednar 2 games in a row?
Yes. But to answer your question on radio and have an opinion, Bednar.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good sign.
I mean, they had that 7-run outburst, and they gave up 10 damn runs on Friday night against Cleveland. But they've kind of done that. Like, watch them be cold tonight, where they'll have an outburst, and then there's just no consistency there. So until they show a little bit more consistency, and until those big dudes are showing up every single night, then I'm not going to get excited about it. But if they're going to be competitive at all this year, the guy that they had earmarked as their closer, who's been a 2-time All-Star, needs to be a part of it in his last 2 appearances. And the 5 appearances in AAA, that's 7 consecutive good appearances for David Bednar. It looks like he's probably figured it out.
Nice.
Now, truth. Truth serum time? No, I didn't watch any of it.
No, no. You were sleeping.
No. No. We got the email from our guy Joel Nelson. They always send out the show notes. Dan Zangrilli's post-game show ended at 1:30.
Oh. Jeez.
Man, I woke up to pee at like 1:45, see if they won. Just got it in.